Support for this public radio podcast comes from the Society for Human Resource Management, which also sponsors PBS's CEO Exchange, online at shrm.org.
It's a small world, after all.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott J. Gow. The Dow Jones Industrial Average only includes 30 stocks. So when one of those companies has good news, it can lift all the boats. This morning, that company is Disney. Disney shares are up 6% on better-than-expected profit reports. Right now, investors are looking for any reason to buy stocks, especially after the Dow lost 370 points yesterday. And so far, stocks are up a little bit. The Dow has gained 29 points to 12,294. The NASDAQ and the S&P 500 have both added 1 point. The markets in Japan and Hong Kong had a rough day, down 5%. European shares are mixed at this point. In the presidential election 8 years ago, special interest groups spent $1 million for the entire primary season. A million. This year already, they've spent $14 million. And now that we've come out of Super Tuesday with the nominations still in doubt, those groups will be spending even more. Nancy Marshall Genzer has this report.
We're talking about wealthy individuals, unions, and business groups. There's an organization called Trust Huckabee. The Wall Street Journal reports this group claims it spent $167,000 so far. Two others in California spent more than $300,000 for Barack Obama. These special interest groups can take money from anybody. In most cases, they don't have to identify their donors. There are no limits on how much cash they can rake in. And campaign finance watchdog Fred Wertheimer says the federal government isn't likely to review the spending until after the presidential election.
It is a potential problem, particularly since in 2004, Federal Election Commission found after that election that a number of groups were spending money illegally.
And Wertheimer points out these groups haven't started their serious spending. They're saving most of their money for the general election. In Washington, I'm Nancy Marshall Genzer for Marketplace.
Americans, on average, spend $10 a day on food. But today is Ash Wednesday, a day of fasting for many Christians. A group called Global Fast wants people to donate the money they'll save by not eating. The money would go to help build a fishing village in Haiti. From our America's desk at WLRN, Dan Gretsch has more.
Angel Aloma runs Food for the Poor, one of the largest international relief organizations in the U.S. A few years back, Aloma was talking to a young Harvard graduate from Boise, Idaho, named Rich Halverson.
At the end of the conversation, he asked a very dangerous question. He said, "What else can I do for you?" And I said, "Go to Haiti with me and see the stuff that I'm talking about."
Halverson later created Global Fast to help poor countries like Haiti.
Haiti is one of the three poorest and hungriest nations in the world, but there's really a lot that we can do about it.
Global Fast raised $45,000 last year to build a fishing village in Haiti. Villagers were taught modern fishing methods and given shared ownership in four power boats. They now catch up to 400 pounds of fish a day.
So you're actually helping them create an economy. It's sustainable, it's innovative, it's efficient.
This year, Global Fast hopes to raise enough for two fishing villages. I'm Dan Gretsch for Marketplace.
In New York City, it's Fashion Week. Usually the clothes being displayed on the runway don't show up in the stores for months. But one of the classic brands is trying a new approach. Lisa Napoli explains.
Halston is going off the rack, way off the rack. The classic fashion house has cut a deal to offer some of the pieces it's showing off in New York this week, available at an online retailer now instead of next fall.
The day dress. The jersey shirt dress is a Halston classic. Versatile, trans-seasonal, and effortlessly sophisticated.
And not cheap. $1,500. But retail analyst Marshall Cohen of NPD Group says the price isn't the point. What's new is that you can pick up this spendy schmata so soon after its debut.
We're seeing the market try to speed up their process, their production cycle, to try to get the product to the consumer at a much quicker pace.
Industry lingo for this trend is speed to market. Cohen says it's not just a way to beat the copycats, but to help fashionistas get some runway action faster than you can say fabulous. In Los Angeles, I'm Lisa Napoli for Marketplace.
It feels like there's a car show about every week. This week, it's the Chicago Auto Show. Ford plans to show off a new high-tech package for its F-150 pickup trucks and commercial vans. Get this. It includes an in-dash computer with high-speed internet and a battery-powered inkjet printer. Plus, there's a tool tracking device so you don't leave any tools behind at the worksite. This is the Morning Report for Wednesday, February 6th on Marketplace.org. Shares in the world's largest mining company, BH Billiton, are down sharply in London this morning. The company's profit fell for the first time in more than 5 years. Not only that, but BHP has increased its offer to buy rival Rio Tinto. BHP seems to have little choice since China's taken an interest in Rio. Scott Tong reports from Shanghai.
BHP Billiton has courted Rio Tinto for months. In November, it offered 13% less than today, to which Rio said, come back with a real diamond. Today's sweetened offer may spark serious talks. BHP argues the deal brings economies of scale and efficiencies, more minerals to market faster. But buyers like China fear a supplier gang-up, monopoly pricing. Industry consultant Michael Kamiseroff.
The Chinese are smarting under the fact that iron ore prices have doubled over the last couple of years. They're probably annoyed at it in the same way as you and I are annoyed every time we pull up at the petrol pump and see the price of fuel.
Last week, Chinese state-owned Chinalco bought a $13 billion stake in Rio. It's the largest Chinese acquisition to date. Some think Chinalco wants to scuttle the deal. Others say it simply bought a seat at the table just in time for the talks to begin. In Shanghai, I'm Scott Tong for Marketplace.
New Jersey has one of the highest debt burdens of any state. $32 billion. But Governor John Corzine has come up with a way to cut that debt in half and have enough money left over to pay for future highway projects. His miracle cure? Here's Eugene Son.
Raise the rates at New Jersey's 66 toll plazas dramatically. That's Governor Corzine's prescription for helping pay down the state's colossal debt. Not surprisingly, New Jersey drivers are less than enthusiastic. It's hard to avoid the state's 300 miles of toll roads. So the governor has scheduled 21 public meetings on the plan, like this one recently at a high school auditorium in Livingston.
The reality is that we have never priced our toll roads on an economically competitive basis with what's going on in the world, whether income growth or whether it is the cost of living and anything else.
Pleading his case has done little to sell Corzine's plan, which would boost the typical trip on the New Jersey Turnpike from $1 now to almost $3 by 2014, and it will continue to climb for nearly 70 years thereafter. Bud Booth, a former mayor of the Bedroom community of Westfield, summed up the sentiments of many Garden Staters at the same meeting.
I think it is wrong to try and balance all of New Jersey's financial problems, which you have outlined very well and I agree with. It's wrong to stick all of this on the toll road users in this state.
Corzine's plan is similar to Indiana's revenue-generating move to lease its turnpike to a private operator. Corzine says New Jersey would get $30 to $40 billion immediately by having a nonprofit agency issue bonds against the future toll revenue. Critics question the wisdom of retiring debt by borrowing more. Rutgers University economist Joseph Seneca says the plan wouldn't so much cut New Jersey's debt as force someone else to make the state's payments.
It will free significant resources for use in the budget and for transportation projects. It does that by shifting those debt service costs onto highway users, drivers, and the trucking industry.
Seneca praises other parts of the plan, such as freezing the state budget and restricting future spending. Some critics are urging a hike in the state's gas tax instead. It's the fourth lowest in the nation. Corzine says he doesn't want to do that with pump prices around $3 a gallon. And he says tolls are a better option because drivers just passing through New Jersey pay half the tolls anyway. I'm Eugene Son for Marketplace.
We'll be right back. Immigration has been one of the top issues in the election so far, especially on the Republican side. Of course, issue number one has been the slowing economy. Commentator Will Wilkinson says there's a connection between the two.
Ask two different economists and you'll get three different answers about whether or not the U.S. economy is about to enter a recession. However things pan out, now's a great time to contemplate what scholars have learned about the consequences of recession. Sustained economic slowdown is more than a pain in the pocketbook. If recession drags on too long, it can poison a nation's moral climate. In his 2005 book, The Moral Dimensions of Economic Growth, Harvard economist Benjamin M. Friedman shows that time and again, economic expansion has fostered greater opportunity, tolerance, social mobility, and a concern for fairness, while economic contraction has gone hand in hand historically with xenophobia, self-defeating trade protectionism, and the political persecution of minorities. When the economic pie is expanding, and most of us are enjoying rising standards of living, we tend to feel optimistic, expansive, magnanimous. When jobs are thick on the ground and living is easy, we're most likely to feel there's enough for everybody. Racial equality in the U.S. has most often made strides when poor whites have felt that they had the least to lose from the economic advance of blacks, that is, during periods of growth. But when the economy starts to shrink and we feel we're stalling or sliding backwards, we become all too ready to consolidate our own advantages, to slam the gates of opportunity and bolt them behind us. It's no accident that new immigrants are least welcome when citizens sense they're fighting for shares of a shrinking pie. In protracted recessions, the divide between us and them sharpens, and Democratic majorities can turn ugly. Thankfully, there's no reason to expect the coming recession, if one is coming at all, to last long enough to test the limits of liberal tolerance. This is just the mild bottom of the business cycle's pendulum swing. But the prospect of recession should remind us of the dangers of decline, and it should remind us to be grateful for the less tangible gifts of growth.
Will Wilkinson is a policy analyst at the Cato Institute in Washington. You can find a link to his blog on our website, marketplace.org. In China, they're ringing in the new year this week and looking for guidance from feng shui masters. 2008 is the year of the rat. Feng shui experts predict a gloomy year for the stock market. One master says the rat will become aggressive at the end of the year and its underlying water element will cool off the market. Watch out for the third quarter. In Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for listening and have a great day.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.